two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
It is a pretty day. Finally, some nice temperatures for gardening. And thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis, taking your calls this morning and your texts. Let's go to Jean, who is in Morgan this morning. And Jean, what is your question for Ton this morning?
About my, I'm a realist, but can I ask a quick question? Are you supposed to prune Russian sage? I've only had it a couple of years, and in the spring I do see new growth on that those old stubbles that I haven't pruned.
Well, you could probably get a nuclear bomb and just bomb the stuff and it would come back.
Ton.
Well, you can cut that right to the ground when it dies back in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And it'll come right back. It'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. And then I've got an amaryllis, and I can't remember how you put it to bed. Do I cut off all these prongs now and then lay it on its side and just quit watering it?
Has it not started to die back already?
It has six big prongs on it, and it's in a sunny window, and I just kind of keep giving it a little water, you know.
So stop giving it water. And put it in a dark place, and when those leaves turn really yellow, you can just cut them off.
Okay.
And then let it sit in a cool, if you have a cool area around 50 degrees, like a root cellar or something, that's
okay.
Ideal. But you want to let it sit for about 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Bring it back out, and it'll start, and it may do it on its own. You'll need to watch it, but it may start to grow some new leaves. But if it doesn't, bring it out, start watering it again, and it usually will flower about 10 to 12 weeks after you bring it back out.
Yeah, I did it last year, but I couldn't remember if I cut the leaves off when they were green or waited for them to die back.
So quit watering it, and that will probably force them to die back.
Wonderful. Love you guys. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Thanks, Jean. Thanks for your call this morning.
While she's in Morgan, she needs to go eat at the Spring Chicken Inn for me while she, just as a memorial to the Greenhouse Show.
All right. Next listener wants to know what your thoughts are on box elder trees. They have one in their yard. Are they messy? Should they take it out? Sounds like Jack is new to this property in Highland.
Depends on how desperate they are for the shade. You know, if it's the
shade
tree.
So the benefit is the shade.
Yes. And if it's a female tree that gets the seeds on it, then there's a potential that it'll attract lots and lots of box elder bugs in the fall. If it's a male that doesn't get seeds, then, you know, go ahead and leave it as long as it's healthy.
Okay. Next is a tree question, too. They have a blue spruce tree. The top 1.5 feet are drying out. 2 weeks ago, they noticed sap literally dripping from the top bare limbs. Is it dying or what's going on there?
Sounds like it has engraver beetles or little borers that get right under the bark, and the tree's trying to flush them out with the sap. So generally that happens in drought-stressed trees.
So give it more water? What are they supposed
well,
to do?
Well, water it so it gets watered every 7 to 10 days, about 18 to 24 inches deep. But they're probably going to need to have a company that can take a look at it and see if there are those engraver beetles in there. Now, there's really not much to do now, but the tree can be sprayed in early spring, right around the time we get our first 50-degree day in late March into April is when you would want to spray that. So it might even be earlier in March. But you would use 7 or carbaryl or permethrin and spray it really well, and that should get them through the season. But those areas may need to be pruned out, and it will take several years for the tree to form a new leader. But if they don't get the engraver beetles taken care of, they'll most likely kill the tree.
Okay, let's take a call from Maggie in Kearns. Good morning, Maggie. How can we help you this morning?
Hello?
Hi, Maggie. What is your question?
Yeah, I had a soil test done a couple of years ago, and it said I needed to put nitrogen in the soil. And I've been having a heck of a time trying to get hydrangeas to grow, the mop head type. And everything else seems to be growing really well. But I thought, well, I got a bag of ironite. I thought I would spread it around. Would I just use like a lawn spreader and go everywhere with it?
It's probably not going to make a hill of beans a difference for those mop head hydrangeas. They just don't like it here. And if you want to supplement them with iron, that ironite is fine for lawns, but it's not really great for trees or shrubs. And so you would want to actually get the more expensive iron that's the Miller Ferra Plus or Grow More chelated iron. You're going to be paying about $20 to $25 for a pound package of it. You'd mix that in water and try it, but it may just be more that those big leaf mop head hydrangeas are not generally happy in Utah, and you'd want to switch out for a different hydrangea species that is.
Now, are panicle hydrangeas?
Those are generally great.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
There's a lot of newer varieties come out with pink flowers and flowers that go from white and fade to pink. I really like that panicled hydrangea, and the ones I see growing around Provo are doing really well. The other one, there's another one called Annabelle hydrangea, which is, I think, hydrangea arborescens, and there's several new cultivars of arborescens coming out, and that hydrangea arborescens is probably going to look a little bit more similar to the mop head hydrangea, except for you won't get that deep pink or deep blue. They're generally white to shades of pink.
Okay. Now, I had ordered a panicle from Proven Winners and got it, but it was so sensitive to the sun that it would scorch if I left it in the sun at all. So is that just because it's new, or will it?
It's most likely because it's new, and especially if you buy the little babies, like that are 4-inch or something, those sometimes can be a little harder to get established. And especially in the spring at places like Progressive or other garden centers, you should be able to find some of these newer panicled hydrangeas that have the pink blossoms or whatever in a bigger, little bit bigger pot size that might be a little more adapted.
Okay.
You don't want to put those on the south side of your house either, because it's not that they're just super tolerant of tons of heat, but they should tolerate full sun just fine.
Wonderful. Okay.
All right.
Even here. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Maggie, for your call. Let's go to Steve, who is in Lehi. And Steve, how can we help you this morning on the Greenhouse Show?
Yeah, so last winter, I put a bunch of leaves on my garden, and they blew off into my neighbor's yard. So this winter, I'd like, because here in Lehi, we get a lot of wind. So this year, I was wondering if I turn the leaves into the soil, you know, that robs the soil of nitrogen, right?
What are you growing right now that, I mean, yeah, it does, but it's not like you have a huge garden there, so it's not really that critical.
Okay, so I can turn the leaves in.
Oh, you absolutely can. What I would recommend doing is mowing them and bagging them. So either just run your mower back and forth over them to chop them up, and then either you can use your bag on your mower or just rake them up or just leaf blow them into the garden. Because if you chop them up, they're going to be a lot easier to incorporate into the soil than those great big fluffy leaves.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right,
Steve.
That
was my question.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. When we come back, it looks like Cindy, you are up next, and then Mike, and you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. Ton, our next texter is asking if they dig out their raspberries now and they want to replace them with a thornless variety in the spring. They say there's no sign of disease, but they thought they'd remove all of the soil and let it sit all winter and put new soil there in the spring. Are they okay then to plant new canes in that same location?
Absolutely. If they want to move the soil, what I'd recommend doing is digging it out 6 inches deep. And if they have like a garden area, then they can just trade the soil back and forth and then just incorporate the raspberry soil into their garden. And as long as they don't grow raspberries there, They'll be fine.
Oh, great. Okay, Cindy is up next in Salt Lake. Good morning, Cindy. And what is your question this morning? Dave, we need Cindy in Salt Lake. Good morning, Cindy. Go ahead. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a question about our front south-facing lawn. Sometime in August, we started noticing brown spots, bigger areas of grass that were dying out, and the little white moths that were flying above it. And I assume that those are some kind of grubs or I don't know what they're called. Anyway,
sod webworm moth.
Yeah, sod webworm. Right. So a long time ago, we had a master gardener when we lived in Colorado who came, and he suggested he put dry Tide crystals on it, and it seemed to help.
I'm going to stop you for just a second.
Okay.
Because the term master gardener gets thrown around quite a bit, and anybody can use it. Now, if they were an official representative as a master gardener from the University of Colorado, they never would have done that. And okay. Because master gardeners, if they're part of a university master gardener program, are required to use EPA-approved and research-based gardening methods, then, you know, they can't do that. And so I wanted to stop you there for just a moment, because that master gardener was like completely off plan and should probably have his master or her, as the case may be, certification taken away, because that is nothing a university would ever recommend.
Okay, that's fine. He has long since passed away. He was about 80 at that time. So
okay.
We're good. But so this grass has died out, and you can pull the top of it, and there is absolutely no root. It just comes right up like, you know, so simple. So what do we need to do at this point? There's still some moths flying around. The grass that had started dying out is definitely gone. It is dead.
What I would recommend doing is getting a treatment from a local garden center or farm store. And the sod webworm can be devastating, but they're usually pretty easy to kill. And so you would just get something, and if you go in and just tell them you need a product for sod webworm, you should be able to find something that will do, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 square feet for under $20. You would treat now, and then again, you'd want to treat probably three times, about a week to 10 days apart, because the sod webworm doesn't have a very determinate life cycle where do you have all adults, all larvae, or all pupae at the same time. It's just kind of everything. And because you may kill all the larvae off, but you haven't killed the eggs or the adults. So go ahead.
Okay. Now, do we do the whole lawn, even the part that's living?
Well, if you can walk on your lawn and there are no moths flying up, there isn't a reason to treat that section. But if you, even if it's green, if you see lots of moths, I would do the whole thing.
Okay. And you said three treatments?
Yeah, probably at least three. Or if you were to, like next spring, I would recommend retreating. And if you do a preventative in the spring, that should get you through the summer, and only one would be required. But because the preventatives right now, it's a little late, you need the other products. And those, you know, if you're using permethrin or bifenthrin or Sevenor, and there's a number of products out there, but you're probably going to have to treat every 7 to 10 days just to make sure you get them.
And we can do that now.
You can.
Okay. All right. I have another question. Grass is not going to grow back in those dead spots, I assume, correct?
Probably not, but it's probably a little too late to do a lot of renovation right now.
Okay.
And so you could see what comes up in the spring, but mid-April of next year is when I would really start looking at renovating those areas with new seed or new sod.
Okay. All righty. Now, part of this dead area is up towards our home, and we were planning on putting a flower garden there anyway. If I take out some of that dead grass, do I need to treat the soil before I put bulbs or plants? No?
No. Okay. You know, if you, depending on sloped areas, I would leave things intact if you're just doing new lawn, because whatever's there is going to hold the soil. But if you're putting in a new flower bed, you can get that grass out of there, mix in some compost and things into the soil, and really get it, you know, ready for next year.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
All right.
And go ahead.
Go ahead, Cindy.
I have one more question. Is there a good site? Maybe you're going to tell me the U of U or the Utah State site, but is there a good site to find out how to prepare flowers for winter? We planted a whole new flower garden in our back, and I don't have a lot of knowledge about how to get those.
Are they perennial flowers?
They're all perennial. Mm-hmm.
So just let them die back naturally with hard frost and cut them down, and that's probably all you're going to need to do.
All right, let's take our next caller before we're out of time. I want to get to Mike. He's been waiting for quite some time here. Mike is in West Jordan. Good morning, Mike. What is your question? Oh, you brought up Mike in Riverton. I needed Mike in West Jordan there. Good morning, Mike. Sorry about that. And what is your question this morning?
And it's I think it's called spurge. It's that green carpeting stuff that grows. It's in my rock garden with a lot of perennials, and the stuff just grows everywhere.
Okay.
How do I get rid of it?
Well, we may need to hold you through, but spurge generally goes crazy in areas where the lawn is stressed. Oftentimes it's mowed too low, and because spurge is quite drought tolerant, there may not be enough water getting to the area.
Well, this isn't grass. This is in the garden area.
Okay.
The hillside with rocks, you know, kind of.
Okay. Okay. And, well, the spurge, so it's, when you say a garden area, is it a vegetable garden or just more ornamental?
Perennials.
Okay. So I would use a pre-emergent containing isoxaben, if you can get it in there and it won't wash.
What's that called?
Isoxaben. So OXABEN, I believe, isoxaben. So, and the reason I'm not giving you just a brand name, because most of the ones available have like 2,4-D in it too. And I don't want you to kill your perennials. And so you would need to find a granular, but if you were to go to someplace like Steve Regan or IFA, they should have something with this isoxaben that you could put down in your perennial beds that would help prevent that spurge from germinating. You'd get that down in mid-April.
Okay, great. And then one other question.
Now, one quick warning. Okay, let's hold it. Let's go ahead and hold them through, if that's okay.
Yeah, you have about 20 seconds if you wanted to just finish your comment.
Yeah, that isoxaben is a pre-emergent, so you will not be able to plant anything from seed in that area if you use it.
All right, and we need to take a break for the top of the hour news. The number to call with your questions following the top of the hour news, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.